I want to welcome all of you to our Tiger Performance Membership Program, where through the science of spaced repetition learning, we will build your mastery of the science and behavioral engineering to become an elite performer and give you a gargantuan competitive advantage. So let's get started with the first of my monthly lessons. And remember, you can find the written version of this lesson to review later in your monthly membership package that's mailed to you. Unlocking Unreasonable Success. This is the title of the lesson for this month. And in my book, Unleash the Peak Performer Within You, I explain the importance of stacking intrinsic motivators, or those things which drive motivation from within. To stack something is to line up several ways of driving a potent force within you that powers energetic pursuit of your vision. All great leaders, people who have put a dent in the universe, as Steve Jobs once said, have ferocity hardwired into their very being. This ferocity cannot be faked. No one can develop high levels of belief, massive expectations, and thrive through setbacks unless one is fired by a sustainable, white-hot motivation to win. And that's what we want for you. So the obvious question then is, how can you create this kind of white-hot motivation? To build on this question, we need to consider how to repeat and sustain motivation day after day, month after month, year after year. Bill Gates has a great quote. He says, "We overestimate what we can do in a year, and we underestimate what is possible in 10. Peak performers are people like you, who play the long game. And to stay in the game and commit to a decade or two of the kind of excellence that builds great businesses or visions, we need to build our life around intrinsic motivators. How then can we maintain and sustain high levels of internally generated motivation for 10 years or more then becomes the big question. So in this lesson, we're going to work through a framework outlined in my book. I discovered it in my own research and implemented the framework in my last company, so I know it works. Within this framework are the keys to sustaining internally generated motivation for decades. Additionally, I'm going to share a goal-setting system that, when combined with the motivational framework, will give you a massive competitive advantage in your business and in your personal life. Why can I confidently say this? Well, unlike many authors who research and report findings without any actual on-the-ground experience implementing it themselves, I'm different. I've implemented everything that you'll learn in this lesson over the past 35 years. And I've leveraged extraordinary success in growing a bank and scaling a company to over $100 million in revenue. So I can just tell you with confidence, this works, and I've proven it in my own life. So you can apply this and win as well. Well, let me give you some history to further cement my viewpoint here, okay? As we entered 2008, my business was finally hitting its stride in the pet retail industry. We had a good team. We had 4 profitable stores. We had revenues of $6.5 million. We had about right around 4 to 5% bottom line after tax, which is good for a retail business where pennies really matter. However, my dream to scale to $100 million was as far as ever off in the distance. When I started the business in 1996, I had stated in writing a goal of growing to $100 million, and it never left my thoughts. But after 11 years now, I was increasingly frustrated by the slow pace of progress. As a sidebar for you as an entrepreneur, this is a dangerous place to be because, you know, you have a big vision, the progress is slow, you've gone through a crucible to get to this point where you're now doing fine. It would be really, really easy to settle and say enough is enough and just coast. And for me, looking back, a coast decision would have actually led to a massive struggle, as we would not have had the scale or the expertise or the resources to meet the new challenges emerging in the retail pet industry from online competition. So pushing on was the right choice. Okay, back to my story. A few years earlier, I shored up a major weakness of mine in real estate site selection by partnering with 2 smart and successful real estate developers. One was really great with the execution of a new development. The other had an incredible eye for choosing sites that would become profitable. Well, despite all of that expertise that I brought in that helped us, you know, get to this point, something was still missing. And what it came down to is we just weren't special inside the store. You know, the store was clean. It was well merchandised. We were in stock. But you know what? PetSmart and Petco and every other store that I competed with was the same thing. So the missing ingredient that I learned and determined was the experience that clients would have and the energy of the team. In a moment of honesty, when I was confronting reality, I realized we were just average. There was nothing special. We were just like everyone else. And let me tell you, that's brutal to come to that level of self-awareness. Despite my constant focus on service, it wasn't translating to the retail experience our clients were receiving. And this was when I came across this research that I mentioned earlier. And when I came across it, I knew this was the missing ingredient. I now had a vision for creating a unique retail experience that was going to be memorable in the minds of our clients. My belief was that if we could make this reality in every store come true every moment of every day, then we could begin to grow at twice the level of similar stores on a year-over-year basis, same store sales growth. That's the holy grail in retail. Well, the core of the research reveals that there are three drivers that are essential to creating a culture of intrinsic motivation. And this would be our culture, intrinsically motivated people who love their work, and it showed in the store through an energy that's not found in any other retail organization. That was the goal. That was the vision. So what are the drivers? Well, number one, purpose. I'll say it again, purpose. You have to develop a grand, transformative purpose that everyone on the team buys into and then can become part of something bigger than themselves. Now, everything I'm saying here, you can translate this over to you as an individual as well. Okay? The same thing applies to you as an individual. You need these three drivers, and as you do develop them, you will have this kind of intrinsic motivation personally. And now what I'm sharing with you is how do you translate that into your team? Okay, the second driver is path to mastery. This is a training progression for each job description in your organization. Or for you, it'd be a path to mastery in an area of expertise that you can then use to grow your business in. And then the third one is empowerment. And if this is you individually, this is autonomy, meaning you get to do what you want. Okay, so empowerment is about releasing the reins of power to those closest to the client. And autonomy is making the choice to pursue that which you want to do. Okay? So they build on each other. You have this purpose that people buy into that gets you all in a common language and a common vision. The path to mastery then makes that employee feel like they're being invested in, so they want to return the favor and give you the discretionary part of their heart for that. Because you're upskilling them. It's same for you individually. As you upskill, that gets you excited and more committed. And then empowerment, if you have people bought in and you've trained them, why in the world would you then micromanage them? You want to let them go. You want to release them. Okay? So for motivation to grow from within, a person desperately needs to know why they are doing something. Life has much monotony. Mindless work only adds to this monotony. When you can give your team their why or yourself within the work context, it unlocks an energy reservoir that your clients will notice when they experience your brand. So to get at what our purpose would be in my company, what we did was we initiated a process to request from every employee input into what they believed a good purpose would be for our organization. And through a series of meetings, we revised it down and down and down to a purpose statement everyone on our team could buy into. And when we did, they were so excited to be included. They felt appreciated and they bought in. And the purpose statement for us was as follows. It said, to become the trusted advisor to one client per day who would enthusiastically refer their friends and family to PSP. That's the acronym for our company. So this statement, when you look at it, to become the trusted advisor to one client per day who would enthusiastically refer their friends and family to PSP, this statement was loaded with meaning. Our positioning was that of a trusted advisor, not a commodity low-price retailer. Okay, this was transformational. This led to the development of a partnership with a major Big Ten University veterinary school to certify our staff in two areas. One is nutritionists, and secondly is wellness advisors. So we were building our business on the referrals of happy clients who are now getting amazing advice they couldn't get in any other store. And this became our mission every day, was to educate and become that trusted advisor and win one client a day in every one of our stores. And as we did, our clients became brand ambassadors and literally shared our story with so many other people. Okay, so the next step then was to train the team in their job and how to live out the mission statement. And this involved a stepped training approach that was documented in a training binder. We implemented monthly career builder interviews where we ranked an employee each month as an A, B, or C. And this wasn't their value as a human, it was in their performance. And we basically said, look, you're like a stock, you're either going up or down, there's never static, never status quo. Well, we also reviewed what training they had completed the prior month and what new training they would do the current month. And finally, their manager would then discuss their performance and why they were rated the way they were at each of these monthly interviews. And this, what happened from this process was it institutionalized now, systematically, ongoing training, ongoing evaluation, ongoing accountability, and great communication. We were now having the tough, crucial conversations needed each month. So morale and motivation actually grew more and more because everyone knew where they stood. The other positive benefit was is the people that were ranked C, they got moved out and replaced by people who were a better fit. And this upregulated our culture as well. Well, when you invest in people, they sense growth and feelings of gratitude. This in turn builds motivation from within. Your clients benefit from a more educated employee who now is energetically into their job. And as you know, that stands out today in the market where everywhere you go, it's marked by horrible, horrendous service with the rare exception of a place like Chick-fil-A. Finally, once we built our mission and developed and executed on our training, we realized we needed to give away more and more power to our team. And again, I say and I ask, why would you invest in all of this great work and then micromanage them? So we transitioned our store managers from taskmasters and managers to life coaches. Their job now was to give all the power away in the store, including even part-time employees. And we found that a 16-year-old professionally trained kid right in high school could make just as good of a buying decision or write just as good of a schedule or resolve a client issue on the spot as a 40-year-old manager with two decades of experience. And it was so gratifying to see the development of hundreds and hundreds of young people and how that changed their view of self and their confidence. We actually had parents visiting the store to ask how we so radically changed their kid. It was so exciting. So what was the return on this investment? Well, first, our year-over-year same-store sales growth numbers consistently now led or were at the top of our entire chain for 10 years. We effectively doubled our same-store sales growth, some years more than that. We were able to accelerate new store profitability periods from over a year that it used to take to less than 6 months. Our gross margins grew by almost 25%. Because we had better engagement in selling inside the store, which improved our sales mix. Our net promoter score was a 76, which was higher than Starbucks at 74 and Southwest Airlines at 62 at the time where we had the national survey. And here was a really cool thing. Our employee engagement was 70%, meaning 7 out of 10 employees were all in. Only 30% were even considering looking for a job somewhere else. This compares to 13% for retail, meaning in the general retail population, only 13% were bought in, 87% were looking for the exit. So we had flipped all of these numbers by using these three drivers. And if you go on Amazon, my first book, The Passionate Entrepreneur, that book kind of chronicles more details about this journey. So if you just wanted another resource, you could do that. Well, anyway, these facts enabled us to go on a growth trajectory that resulted in growing to 45 stores in 6 states, half of them from the ground up with new store openings and half from acquisition of poor performing stores that we could then manage up into higher value stores. And my goal of growing to $100 million in revenue was realized in my last year, 2 decades after starting the business. And the thing to note, however, was that in the last 10 years, we added 41 stores and approximately $96 million in new revenue after growing only to 4 stores and $6.5 million in the first 10, 11 years. So the point of this story is by implementing purpose and mastery and empowerment, it unlocks triggers that unleash forces inside your organization, leading to massive growth. These three drivers build on a growth mindset. They build on personal mastery. They build on personal interest and autonomy. And these represent group flow triggers, which usher in team flow. And we know from the research that flow results in huge gains in productivity, creative problem solving, and accelerated learning. All the truisms here from the story of my team hold in your personal life as well. So as you work under a great purpose and develop your skills as part of your path to mastery and gain increased levels of autonomy, your intrinsic motivation and performance will grow. Okay, now that we understand how to build intrinsic motivation into your life and team, let's talk about creating a high degree of clarity around what you focus all of this attention and motivation on to achieve your goals. The big idea that we want to talk about now, and this is timely given when this lesson comes out, is the goal stack. The concept behind the goal stack is it harnesses the power of intention and the research supporting a strong correlation between motivation and goal setting. The first thing you must do is get crystal clear clarity in terms of your purpose or your why. Okay, you can adjust it later. However, it's vital to this entire process that you get it mostly right. You can always tweak it later, okay? For instance, our purpose at Tiger is just 2 words, optimize performance. It is a loaded 2-word phrase that includes the optimization of one's physiology, your psychology, and life design or engineered behavior change to live a high-flow lifestyle. Our team and I know if we stay focused on that why, our motives are good and we are client focused, and it's a beacon from which to make all of our other decisions. It's also highly motivational because we love when our clients share stories of how they are performing and feeling better. Nothing gets us more excited than that. Well, there's one more aspect of clarity that's also important, and that is core values. You need help with this. Okay, it's not something you can just easily do on your own. And I've embedded this link in your notes, okay, in your transcribed version of this lesson that's in your package that gets mailed to you. But it's valuescenter.com/tools-assessments/PVA. Again, it's in your notes. You don't need to remember what I just said. But it's an assessment that I've used for close to 10 years that narrows this down for you. So you take the assessment, and I think it ends up giving you 12 keywords. And from there, you narrow it down to 5 to 7 that define the way you want to live and that best represent who you are at your core, okay? And what I do, I teach, is I have those 5 to 7 words, and I have people under me write a statement after that word that further explains your choice. So, for example, one of mine is autonomy. So in my core values document, I have written, autonomy. I engineer my life to maximize time freedom to choose what I spend my time on. Okay? So I've done that with my 7 words, and that helps reinforce what my core values mean to me. And the effect of these words and the corresponding statement is that it's highly clarifying on what you will spend your attention on, and it's very motivational because you want more of it. Okay? These 5 to 7 words, you want more of it all the time. So use your core values as a way to saying yes and no to things. The reason core values are so important is that you want to set goals that are in alignment with your values. In his book, The Confidence Gap, psychologist Russ Harris explained that a misalignment of goals to values causes procrastination and a loss of confidence. Your subconscious, you see, knows what you've put on paper for goals is either who you are or not who you are. And if it's not who you are, this causes your subconscious to have internal discord and a loss of confidence. It'll also have your subconscious block you from actually taking action on those goals. So you want to be in alignment. You want to get this right, because if you do, then you can visualize easily. You can be excited by the visualization. You know that it's in alignment with what you want to become. And then your subconscious works on helping you achieve these goals, whether you're working on them or not. Okay, now that we have this heavy lifting out of the way, you ought to have some motivation and excitement already brewing inside. Well, next, you want to set some high, hard goals. High, hard goals are validated in research to enhance motivation consistently by 11 to 25%. They are the long-term target from which you build your annual goals and priorities. So have fun with this. Dream a bit. Put that stake in the ground that you're going after 3 to 5 years out, okay? At this point, after you've done that, you are now ready to develop your goal plan for the next year. The way this works, ideally, is at the end of the year, between Christmas and New Year, you set your goals for the upcoming year. This enables you each year to break down the remaining journey that you have that you must travel to achieve your high, hard goals. If you read or listen to this and it's April, don't worry. Set goals for the balance of the current year and then build this system into the rhythm of your work the next year. I'll say it again. Don't proceed with annual goal planning and priorities until you have embraced and are excited about your transformative purpose and your core values and your high, hard goals. Very important. So set your goals in any format you like. I like to keep it simple and set personal goals that incorporate my family, health, financial, and personal growth goals. And then I like to set business goals that include revenue and profit levels, maybe units sold, and other metrics that make sense to you. Next, you want to prioritize your activity by quarter. So once you're done with your personal and your professional annual goals, you want to break down into each quarter all of the build-up steps. So a good practice would be to list the build-up steps of each of your goals. And I would encourage you not to have 15 or 20. I'd probably limit it to 10 to 12 at the most. And then list all the steps you got to take to achieve each one. And then what you want to do is you want to break them down and assign them a quarter that you're going to focus on that task. Okay? You can't put everything in the first quarter, then nothing's a priority. So for instance, if you have a goal to read a book a month, you'll likely determine you need to build a 15 to 20 minute daytime block to read to achieve at that pace. If you're growing revenue at a certain product line, you'll put general things you need to do to grow that product line each quarter. It can be in a repeating theme or description, or it can be unique. In some cases, you'll actually have unique tasks in each quarter, such as start a membership program for your business in Q1, say, and start a leadership lesson in quarter two. It's important to understand you can't make everything equally important and force it all early. Then nothing's important, like I said. Well, from this quarterly priority layout, now each month, right before the next month begins, you will set mini goals and priorities for the month. Again, break down the monthly goals into all the steps necessary to achieve them. And these steps form the basis for your weekly planning process that I'll talk about soon. You'll do this the last few days of each month prior to the next month, and this affords you the opportunity to reevaluate your progress and recalibrate your priorities monthly based on new information and how you've done in prior months. The monthly priority and goal plan now feeds your weekly planning process. So, I like to get up early on Sunday mornings and do my weekly planning process that day. This is when I review my month thus far, I adjust my plans, and I lay out the top 3 to 5 priorities each day the following week. And these are extremely specific, such as write chapter 5 in my book on Tuesday from 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. In this planning session, I'm creating my daily time blocks and filling in specifically what I'll do in a specific time block. Okay, does that make sense? I share that in my Get in the Zone online course that is part of membership that you can go look at. All right, everyone's work is different. For a coder, engineer, writer, copywriter, lawyer, they can all build and control much of what they do in a day. Thus, this exercise will be something they can create and follow, and it'll have massive impact. For a sales rep or a business owner that needs to interact with people, clients much of the day, and maybe their schedule isn't as controlled, this still can work, okay? You still need to have focus time to advance your strategic objectives and not simply react. So you simply must work at it differently and select perhaps one time block per day, either early in the morning or late in the evening or whenever it works best for your biorhythms, to do your strategic work, and then leave open the rest of the day for the planned interaction with people. The idea here is that you are waking up, you're going to your desk, and you know exactly what you are working on in each moment of the day before you arrive, so that when you do, you can go into flow with great concentration, no cognitive load, and do your best work every day. You are now working a plan that has thought and strategy behind it, so you know each day is a profitable day, building toward your intended future. And here is the essence of this lesson. When you can possess great clarity and intention, set a course of action to create that intentional future, and now you deploy flow against your daily priorities, and then you compound this daily flow against those priorities over time, day after day, year after year, you set yourself up to literally do the impossible. You can do so much more than you ever dreamed if you can build this kind of consistency. All right, now, is this neurotic? Yes, of course it is. But if you want 1% results, you got to do what 99% of the world is unwilling to do. And some of the great performers that I've been around have a similar neurotic process like this. So you got to have one too. Let me finish up with this. You are one of the heroes in our country. You make the choice each day to take the road less traveled by embracing risk, pursuing your vision, staying uncomfortable. You not only take the arrows shot at you by society, by critics, by government officials, clueless to what it actually takes to create an enduring business, you have to fight your own internal biology, the old brain that fights your new brain every moment of the day to protect you. You see, whenever you choose to go out of your comfort zone, you engage the amygdala, which has one focus, one singular focus, and that is to protect you from threats. On the other hand, your new brain, the prefrontal cortex, is where you develop all your great ideas. This is the high-functioning executive brain, and therein lies the creative thoughts you develop that leads to embarking on the hero's journey as an entrepreneur. So overcome your old brain. Step out there and don't quit. Keep going. Embark on your hero's journey. Stay on the journey and understand that the 99% is the civilian population. Not to tear them down, I'm just saying they will never understand nor properly appreciate you or what you do. Understand also that your brain will fight you, but fight on you must. Fight on to win you must. You must win the day every day until you win big and see your massively transformative purpose become a reality. Thank you for listening. I hope it was helpful. Go back to your package, read the transcript, make notes about it, and go implement this and go play it at a bigger level than you were before. Thank you.